Kind of interesting. The promo says the only person in the building wearing a flannel shirt, and who walks up but Jim Bovard. Yeah.
Today, you know, hey, I was doing a video thing, so I was wearing a blue shirt. It's an old blue shirt. It doesn't have any burn holes.
I do appreciate that. I really do. And
I'm known for my burn holes.
Well, it is Friday, I guess. It is Friday. You guys want to use that? And fortunately, for the first time in commercial radio history, at least on WSPD, Jim has brought along an old friend and a gentleman of whom I have a big fan. He's been on our show not enough times. The head of the Future of Freedom Foundation, Jacob Hornberger. Good to see you, sir.
Hey, it's great to be here. As always.
You want to plug that in somewhere?
It might be necessary to adjust for his Texas accent.
We self-engineer here.
You self-engineer, okay.
Yeah. Well, so if you see somebody from NABIT or IBEW or whatever, we'll just have to get along. These guys are just coming off doing Jacob's show that streams on the internet, if I understand correctly. Let's get in a plug. What's the URL for the show?
Well, we had a great time. It's they go to the FFF.org website and go to our FFF email update, and it has all the information there. We do it off ustream.com, but the link's there on our FFF email update. And I do it on Saturday night from 7 to 8 live. We won't be doing it this Saturday because we just did this show this last hour. In lieu of that we'll be putting up on our website next week.
I'm sorry, I'm having difficulty adjusting the levels of these microphones. It would probably be better if you guys shared. I think this one is anemic. And we'll do it that way.
Sounds good.
Oh, much better. All right, excellent. Knowing Mr. Bovard as well as I do, I have to assume that there was and knowing your writings as well as I do, I have to assume there was some considerable hell-raising during the last hour
Porn.
On your trip.
Porn was the main subject.
Porn.
We spent about 20 minutes talking about the Mies Commission report on pornography, and I was going through some of the if people want to understand the threat, they need to read the appendix of that Mies Commission report, because it lists all the titles of the magazines, it lists a lot of the videos, and it has thumbnails.
Wow.
You know how libertarians are. They favor porn, drug use.
All sorts of immorality, and I guess we're, I don't know, what other bad things do they say about us?
Hate the poor,
ownership of machine guns.
Love terrorists.
Pretty much.
Fear. Fear is very important, because I have this fear that there's a new prohibition coming, and we're finally getting good tasting beer in this country in the last decade or two. It doesn't matter to you, Brian, because you're a wine snob.
I am.
I have to say, I was pleased to meet Brian's son, Jeremy, who loves beer and appreciates beer, and I'm glad at least someone in his family is not blind on this issue.
Well, I should get some credit. He is my son. I did raise him appropriately. Free choice. I exposed him to a variety of beverages. He is not without appreciation of the fruit of the vine, however.
I won't hold that against him.
Well, that's true. And I've been known to drink a beer or two in my time, as you know.
Yeah, a beer or two per year.
When we've had lunch.
Yes.
On a quasi-serious note, what are your thoughts on the Egypt situation? Everybody's talking about it.
One bastard down, a lot more to go.
Yeah, good point.
It's great to see him going down. You see a helicopter leaving the presidential palace. You only wish, maybe someday we'll have the same thing here.
Ah, there you go. I was really, I don't know if you saw it, a Drudge this morning had a picture of Obama. Apparently giving a speech out in Michigan somewhere. And he had this, it's really choice if you can find it. It is the picture definition of a pout.
A pout?
A pout.
A pout.
Yeah, because he was up yesterday, our fearless leader, President Zero, up there saying, you know, this is, we're watching history in the making, as the as Mubarak said, in anticipation. And they're all wrong. They were all absolutely wrong at the time. And he didn't step down. He just shuffled off for Buffalo. And the embarrassment of the CIA, the intelligence gathering organizations, supposed to know all that was going on. They knew nothing.
Well,
they had it all wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the real downside of this whole thing, is that some Americans might lose faith in the judgment of the CIA.
That would be a great loss. That would be a great loss.
Well, I think we got to keep in mind, too, that, you know, while... You know, both conservatives and liberals may be celebrating Mubarak's departure, maybe not. He's the guy that they have supported for 30 years. I mean, it's the U.S. government's foreign aid that has built up and propped up this dictatorship, that built the torture rooms, that built the military, that built their domestic police force, against which now the people are revolting. And I think this is a valuable time for the American people to be rebelling against their government and its foreign aid as much as the Egyptian people are rebelling against the government that foreign aid built up.
Well, I would like to poll the American people and see if they're happy with what they got for $2 billion a year for the last 30, I mean, $60 billion. I know now we've got a lot of old used Humvees and Bradley fighting vehicles and always a good market for used M16s and, you know, and things along that order. But I wonder, do you get the sense that the mainstream media has carried this out sufficiently so that message is coming through? Or yeah, I'd even settle for the embarrassment of the administration not being able to figure out what the hell's going on over there at $2 billion.
I think part of the problem here is that most of the mainstream media has been complicit in supporting this Arab dictator, as well as a lot of other dictators. I mean, there have been occasional articles on the torture of Egypt, or Egypt's role in torturing people the CIA brought to them with rendition programs. But there's been very little sustained analysis of it. It's interesting, looking online over the last month, the British media has had far better coverage of the torture and abuses in Egypt, as has some of the Arab TV stations, such as the folks at Al Jazeera. They've been great on this. There was a guy who interviewed me 5 years ago from Al Jazeera, alive in London, and he had gone to Egypt a few months before. He had been beaten by the security forces there because they were doing everything that they could to silence him. And a lot of people, a lot of Americans don't realize it was Al Jazeera who was the point person in fighting against some of these Arab dictators. And they were hated far more in Egypt than they were even hated here.
What could we understand because of the paucity of coverage from there to here? What do we also try to understand about the coverage? I mean, you would think that our press would be really excited about exposing that.
Why?
Well, let's see. Bush.
I'm not quite sure if I get verb connection.
Well, anything in the sense that would embarrass. It seems to me, especially since the Obama election, that there's plenty of evidence that the media takes very obvious sides in who they're going to support and they're not. I mean, during the Bush years, Bush was an idiot, and people in Guantanamo, torture was an issue, you know, and so on. Now, granted, they didn't give it wall to wall, but it was given a fair amount of exposure to
torture
the American people.
Was?
Yeah.
Where?
More so than what we've heard out of Egypt.
Well, I'm not sure, but I think part of the paradox was that during the Bush years, the New York Times, Washington Post, places like that, would almost never use the word. You know, if waterboarding was being done by the U.S. government, it was maybe excessive, but it wasn't torture. If waterboarding was being done by the Egyptians, it was torture. There was a double standard in what the mainstream newspapers labeled torture, and the U.S. practices tend to be exempted. So the, you know, it was, they were doing backflips to avoid using the T word.
Well, and I think the mainstream media, especially after 9/11, really bought into all this war on terrorism nonsense, that we're at war, and that whatever the government's doing now is in defense of our rights and our freedoms, and they've got to protect us from the terrorists, or maybe even the drug dealers. And so you have the mainstream media never questioning things at a fundamental level. foreign aid. I mean, how many times, except for libertarians, have you ever heard anybody call for just challenging the very notion of sending money to a tyrannical government, or to any government for that matter? The torture deal with Egypt. You know, what was the mainstream media, where were they on this torture deal between this current vice president who struck the deal with the US CIA to torture people on our behalf? They were silent. Why? Because this was in our interest. This is pro-freedom. And now that this is coming out, that the Egyptian people are rebelling against this very regime that has been our government's partner, our government's pro-freedom friend, how do they handle that, something like that? They've got to be conflicted.
I would think. Well, I mean, even with Cheney.
Cheney, my man, Dick. Hot damn, you know.
Jim Bovard, the president of the Dick Cheney fan club in smaller Maryland suburbs.
Yes, that's I think he's... I think there's places he's more popular than Montgomery County.
Well, but he did say, I mean, he did say that Mubarak was a good friend and a strong ally and all the rest of this business in the face of the information coming out about the torture and about the heavy-handedness and
heavy-handedness. You can write headlines for the Washington Post.
I'm working on it. Sending those thugs out, the secret police, private police. Whatever the hell they called them over there.
Killers.
Yeah, to go out into the square and beat the crap out of people. And how can you... I just find it rather an interesting conundrum or a contradiction that the former vice president would stand up and say what a great ally and what a wonderful person Mubarak is while his people are out there in the square beating the crap out of people.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me because the thing that Dick Cheney was most consistent on was loving arbitrary power. Mm. And almost all the things he pushed as vice president would give maximum discretion to the U.S. government, and the things that Mubarak did maximize his arbitrary power. I mean, and it comes down to that the people in government should have absolute power over anybody a government official labels a bad guy. That was what was consistent about Egyptian policy and about American policy. These people are bad, so let's just take care of them. And it was the same mentality that Clinton had at Waco. I mean, there were people in the FBI, ATF, Janet Reno, decided that David Koresh and the people in that big rickety old building, they were bad people. So it was okay to send in the tanks, and it was okay to knock down 25% of the building, and okay maybe to start a fire as long as you can deny it. And the same mentality at Ruby Ridge. You had the government labeling people as bad, and then whatever happens to them is justified because the government has to protect us from bad people. It's a recipe for absolute power, any place in the world.
And the notion that whatever my government does is right. It's that sense that America's exceptional because the federal government is pro-freedom and pro-free enterprise, and it defends the rights and freedoms of the people around the world, and it spreads democracy and freedom. And now all of a sudden, you've got this Egyptian crisis popping up showing the U.S. stands for the things that these people are rebelling against. I mean, there's an anti-terrorism law in Egypt that is almost exactly mirrors our anti-terrorism legislation and decrees. And the people are rebelling against it. They know it's tyranny. And yet, what over here, we've got people advocating that the Patriot Act, which is essentially the same principle, needs to be renewed.
Yes. Well, I thought it kind of interesting when Obama said that the things that are happening in Egypt, you know, and all those, was because the people demanded, you know, that this type of thing take place. And I'm saying, gee, you know, I wonder if we got a few million people down, you know, in front of the White House that demanded he get out. Would we get the same support for something like that there? Probably not, but it's an idea. Jacob Hornberger, Future of Freedom Foundation, the Grand Exalted Omnipotent Stomper from that fine organization. And if you'll go to their website, which is linked from WSPD, everybody we have here that has a website has linked at WSPD.com. Just go to my page, look down the left-hand column, and you'll find you'll even find Jim Bovard's blog, which is entertaining, informative, and fun.
And obscene.
Definitely an adult participation.
You know, I appreciate being on, but I'm a little bit nervous being on the radio and Northwest Ohio because, you know, the rules are different there in that part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
I assume like you, like me, you're a big fan of George Carlin, and Carlin had that famous bit on the seven words that the FCC does not allow you to use on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
But for Northwest Ohio, it's eight words. And the eighth word, I guess, is monkeys.
Oh. Well, yeah, there are. Shaggy, make call over and make sure that Tom Troy, the alleged reporter from The Blade, recorded that so that he can do a big scandalous report on that above the fold in the newspaper tomorrow, that Jim Bovard used the word monkeys on WSBT. Yes, you do have to worry about that, Jim. It's a very sensitive.
Yeah, I've had that trouble a lot in the past.
I try primates, if
primates,
I remember.
Primates, there
you go.
Well,
primate,
you know,
that kind of thing.
A compromise would be simian.
Simian personality.
I mean, that's something that Dilbert uses a lot, and Dilbert's never been attacked for that yet.
That is true. And, I found that the more syllables you can work into the word, you're usually a lot better off with that, too. It's a certain camouflage that you can hide behind.
Yeah, I mean, it works out better for a defamation suit.
True enough. Well, that'd be good, Riggs. I hope that, Troy, I know you're recording, so I hope you got that down. And, by the way, you can also go to Jim Bovard's blogspot. There's lots of great things you could steal over there and take out of context. It'd be really swell. Sorry, we're just having a little fun time with one of our friends over at the local newspaper. I want to talk about we got a couple of minutes. I want to talk about the Future of Freedom Foundation. Specifically, we talked about the radio show that you're doing, but you've also got that neat little monthly magazine that goes out. And there's, like over on your table, there's a treasure trove of information. The radio show is new. What else you got up your sleeve, you devil?
Well, we've got our Economic Liberty Lecture Series that we do in conjunction with the Econ Society at George Mason University, which is a student-run group interested in libertarianism and Austrian economics. And we post those videos online on our FF email update. What we really do is, for people that are brand new to us, we get them to subscribe for free to our FFF email update, which comes out daily, and we consider that one of the best, if not the best, libertarian op-ed editorial pages on the internet. And then if people like our work, they end up subscribing to Freedom Daily, which you talked about, our journal of essays, and supporting our work with donations. And we're just a hardcore libertarian organization. I mean, Brian, you know I happen to believe that libertarianism is the solution to America. Not conservatism, not liberalism, but libertarianism. This is the solution to all the woes, the foreign policy woes, the drug war, the welfare state, everything.
Do you think, considering some of the changes that took place here this year, the greater libertarian presence, Governor Huckabee's brilliant statement that this should be the LPOC and not the LPAC instead of the PAC or whatever. Do you get the sense that the libertarianism and those organizations that are pushing are getting a bigger footprint?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is where the excitement is. I mean, people are feeling it, that the buzz is in the movement. You can see it here at this convention. The conservative movement just seems to me sort of dead, spiritually, intellectually, but yet you walk around here and you go down Liberty Row where the libertarian organizations are, and there's people around, they're buzzing, they're talking, there's excitement there. I haven't seen it in the 21 years that I've been running the Future of Freedom Foundation. And then you've got the Tea Party phenomenon. They're not yet libertarians, but they're seeking, they're exploring, and there's a good shot they may discover libertarianism. So these are exciting times for us, and I think we've got a chance to restore freedom in America, and that's what libertarianism is all about.
To jumpstart your own search, FFF.org, the Future of Freedom Foundation. That's where Jacob publishes his work. You'll find Jim Bovard there and a couple of dozen other great thinkers and writers who get you on your way. Thank you, gentlemen.
Hey,
it was
thank
a pleasure
you, Brian.
Having you by.
It's always an honor.